Blog Talk Radio.
Keith Harris Show. Hey, what's up, everybody out there? You know what I'm saying? What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another wonderful, beautiful day and segment of the Keith Harris Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm excited, very excited to have this special guest coming back today. She was definitely, you know, she was around during our first run. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, she was amazing. And you know, we've been watching her since then. She's constantly doing her thing. Amazing, amazing personality. Hard worker. All right. Jessica Vale, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be making an encore. She'll be back on the show joining me today. And we're going to catch up with Jessica and see what she has been up to in the last little while. All right. Also, I want to send a big shout out to, let's see, Diesel Ramos, Jose Mazanet, let's see, Pete DeLorenzo, Chris Morrissey, Gia, everybody, Donna Lee Heisen, so many people, some that I might be forgetting. Also, big shout out to the East Coast family as well, everybody on this side, big shout out to them also. All right. Yeah, otherwise, nothing, not a whole lot going on. It's super chilly outside today here, and everybody had to bundle up and make sure it was warm, all right? So that's what time it is. In the meantime, we are going to welcome, as I say before, we're going to welcome this very special guest back to the show. I'm extremely, extremely happy that she decided to join me back on here again. Without any further ado, I would like to once again roll out the red carpet for actress and writer Jessica Vale. Jessica.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Jessica?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing wonderful. Can you hear me? I'm not echoing or anything, Emma.
No, you sound great. You sound really, really great.
Awesome. You do too. Listen, first of all, hello. Welcome back. Thank you for accepting the invite.
Yes, yes. Thank you for having me again. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. So last time we spoke, I don't know, it was 2015. It's been a minute. You know what I'm saying?
It has been a while.
Right. No doubt. No doubt. So, listen, how has life been treating you so far? I mean, we'll get into it in just a bit. Your short film called Listen that you're working on. And we'll talk about, you know, you guys, Chris Morrissey and Cher Cherie and the team over there with heavy makeup and stuff like that, too.
Yeah, everything's been really, really good. I'm currently working on an upcoming project, so I've just been kind of bouncing around from, you know, taking a break from in between films writing and then just getting,
right,
jumping back on the bandwagon and kind of creating my own projects and,
right,
really involving, you know, everyone in the, you know, women community and Latino women community and just kind of collaborating with different producers and writers and directors. So it's been a real fun ride.
Right. Are you still doing your modeling? Have you, you know, kind of focused on the film right now, or are you?
I'm doing still TV and film. I mean, I've been doing a few commercials here and there. Lately, the most recent booking has just been film, though, because I've been more focusing on festivals and things like that. So that's kind of been what's going on in 2016. So Listen has been my most recent project that I just started shooting yesterday, actually. So yesterday was the first day, so it's been good to be back on set. And this time I wrote the entire script, and I'm also co-directing. So it's each step what I'm usually doing, which is just being behind the camera. So it's good to be on set and in front of the camera and behind the camera,
right,
to kind of see what's going on and to really get my view of what I'm looking for.
Right. And you know what? So, okay, because let me catch up with you, Jess. Like I said, it's been a minute. So now listen. So this is your project. This is your short. This is your baby. So you're right, and you started on this one yesterday. You already read it, but you started shooting yesterday, you say, or?
Yeah, I did. I started shooting yesterday. I kind of wrote it a few months back, and I kind of collaborated with Red Leon, who's a director who has been around for a while, so I collaborated with her. And we kind of just sort of jumped on the back one, and I started shooting right away. So it's been kind of fast, to be honest.
Well, you know what though? I bet though. But see, you know, you've been in the business, so you kind of know it. Did you have cold feet? But is this your first? This is your first project totally that you're behind the scenes on, or have you just dabbled some before?
I've dabbled some before, but this is pretty much the first project that I've co-directed and something that I've written by myself. So it didn't start off with me co-directing.
Yeah. Hey, are you able to spill any of those beans? About it's your first project.
I mean, what I can say is that it's a dramedy. It's about a girl who basically is revolved around her phone, and it kind of brings up to like what's going on now with the whole, the millennial season we're in, where cell phones kind of rule everybody's life. So it's basically about a girl who's controlled by her phone. So it's a little spoof and a dramedy, but it's kind of real on what's going on. So it's kind of like making a joke about what really happens now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, as a matter of fact. I mean, that's relative to what really happens. Will there be a message that people can take from it if they want to? Will a message be there?
Yes, definitely. I think it'll be very eye-opening for people to see how much of our phones rule us. You know, we think we, control ourselves, but really sometimes it feels like our phone controls us. And, we lose people that way on an everyday basis, because when you walk into, a restaurant or a coffee shop, you don't really see interactions anymore. You just kind of see everyone on their phones, and a phone has become, such a huge magnet, and it's become almost like a person, because people don't really need to interact anymore. They can go to a coffee shop and sit by themselves and be on their phone, and everything is fine. But when people don't have their phone, they freak out, and people really experience heavy trauma when something happens to their phone. So it definitely has something to take away from the story.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I guess kind of on a personal note, things, even when not just with talking on cell phones, but just so with so many apps. I mean, they got an app for everything out there nowadays. So even if I know times, Jessica, where even if I'm not talking on the phone, I'm playing pool or, I'm on a bank app or I'm doing something like that. So they've just figured out ways to keep us focused on these devices.
Oh, yeah, completely. And you completely lose touch with reality at the same time, too. I mean, how often do you find yourself sitting on your phone, on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, and you're like, wow, it's been 3 hours. You know what I mean? And we completely lose ourselves in technology, and it just gets more advanced, as years go by. We really have to find ourselves and bring ourselves back to reality and not lose ourselves in, the virtual world.
Right. A lot of times, and I know I do this myself, when we're creators, and like you are too, once you began with listen, or as you began to work on your own project, did all of a sudden your mind start to create all these different ideas of different films that you would like to create? Like, did it kind of open up, kind of tweak your brain, I guess, into being a film creator opposed to being an actress?
Yeah, absolutely. I think after, doing acting for so many years and really, wanting to find projects that you're really passionate about really brings you to a place as coming back to being an artist and finding out ways to make yourself creative in an environment that you want to be around. So it definitely inspired me, being in those situations, to write what I really loved and write what really made me me find more opportunity for myself. And I think also falling back on writing, it really did find me to be creative and, try out different you know, genres and drama, and then, you know, versus being doing horror films, which is what I first started doing. But it definitely gives you an open eye on to really, like, express what you really want to do and what you really want to write about and just kind of run with it. And once you start to create your own ideas, you really do become attached to it, and you really want to just create more and more and more content as you're going along. And sometimes you just get inspiration from just, like, things that happen in your life every day, you know, and you could just pull off that. So it's all about, I guess, bringing yourself to that opportunity.
Yeah, because you get to create. You know what? You get to create and kind of tell stories. Look, sorry. Listen, Django and Hooper, okay? Now, you appeared in Django and Hooper. Am I saying that right? Django
yes,
and Hooper.
Yes.
I always say Django and Hooper like it's two people.
It's one person, yes.
Hey, one day, like, I don't know if who, because who did that? Joe Wheeler did that, right? Did Django Hooper,
yes.
Right?
Hey, yeah, Joe Wheeler directed that.
Yeah. Listen, so you made an appearance in that. Was it kind of a quick scene, or?
I came out. There was different various scenes throughout the movie. It's like beginning, middle, and end, where I played a. It was like the daughter of, you know, the drug cartel. So I definitely had my appearance in there, but mostly it was just me getting myself into trouble, you know, doing, trying to fight for my brother's life in the movie.
Hey, you know what? Listen, I put on one of your posts. I put on one of the posts I put up, She's So Cool, right? There's a reason I did that. That was like a serious move I made, right? And I did that because your appearance, people have different auras about them. Yours is cool. I don't know if you notice or not. You probably don't even try. You know what I'm saying? But you for real though, you got this like cool, laid back aura about yourself. And you know, is that kind of what you carry into your film sometimes, some kind of the roles you get where you're bad and you're actionate, but you're cool bad at the same time? Do you try to bring that to screen, or does that just happen?
I guess I am a very laid back person, but I mean, I guess it depends on the role when I call for it, because I mean, in Django Hooper, I was definitely a little bit more, the character was a little bit more uptight and anxious and neurotic,
right,
and on edge.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that it just varies, you know, on transitioning to what the character brings. But, I mean, I'm definitely a laid-back person, and that's kind of always been my thing because, you know, I have been acting for a very long time since I was a kid. So maybe that's the chill vibe that I'm giving. But at least it's a good vibe. I mean, I'll take it as a compliment.
Yeah, it is. It totally was a compliment. It's two meanings to that. One meaning is, I guess it just – you always look like you can handle it. You have a character. I don't know if you've played this character yet, but you had a type of character, like you're the one in the movie where the killer's running around and he's killing everybody, but you're willing to fight back. You see what I'm saying?
I guess that hard-ass personality does kind of follow me around. I guess I definitely could play the damsel in distress if the role called for it. But I'm definitely the type of person who would probably fight back if a killer entered the house.
Hey, you know what? Listening you say that the damsel in distress, because you're a great actress, I could see you handling that role. But you might try to bust out of that role or something. It seemed like you break out like I can't do it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, definitely being tough is a huge thing for me, especially, you know, in the industry. You know, it's a very, very, you have to have really thick skin to kind of last, you know, and I've kind of practiced it my entire life, so it's kind of stuck with me.
You know what, you got to, listen, you being modest, but you got to be a pretty cool gal to be featured for Gucci.
That one was, the Gucci commercial. Yeah, no, the Gucci commercial was great. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, people can wear those, but I mean, you got to be on point to do the Gucci now, Jess. You know what I'm saying? How was, like, how much pressure? Well, see, you good at what you do, but was there any pressure to be modeling for Gucci? And for the listeners out there, I'm taking Jess way back now. So we just kind of talking about her past a bit, but you know, and some of the, you know, some of her resume. But you know, when you did Gucci, I'm sure you worked with other great designers, but had you been had done work for someone is well known or is mainstream or on the level of Gucci at that time, and if not, what was it like? Like, did it feel any different or?
At the time that I worked on the Gucci commercial, it had been a while since I had jumped back into acting again, so that definitely was a big moment for me, jumping from film and then jumping to a collaboration with Gucci. So, I mean, it definitely was super, super exciting for me. I remember I could barely sleep that night. I was so excited to be, you know, working with James Franco, you know, his whole crew, and so it was a really, really good experience, and it was really fun, and, you know, everybody in that whole team is very family-oriented and home-like, so it was a lot more easy to be comfortable around on being on set, you know, versus being nervous or anything like that. Everybody was really, really cool.
Wow. Would you ever produce, excuse me, because you've done theater, would you ever produce a theatrical, like a stage play?
I would never opposed to it. So if the time came, I mean, in the future, I do probably see myself directing a theater play in the future.
Oh, okay. Comedy, because I mean, you're versatile. What about comedy? Well, I know you could see yourself doing it. I know you could.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've written a few comedy scripts that I kind of have on, you know, on deck right now that I've been, you know, working on. And so, I mean, I do have one that is in development right now, but I can't really say too much about it. But it is a comedy one that's possibly coming soon. So we'll just have to see.
All right. We'll try to get it out of you a little later then.
Yeah.
But yeah, see, look, they were that cool. Like, see what I'm talking about? They got that cool attitude again. Hey, Jess, look, off the record. I mean, not off the record, but personal question: do you play cards?
Do I play cards?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes. What kind of cards? Like goldfish?
Oh heck, no, girl. I was talking about poker or something.
I mean, I for sure can play poker. I don't know if I am good at poker, but I'm sure I can learn quickly.
Hey, I can see you in a poker film. Hey, you know what though? But to keep it 100 with you, I can't play Go Fish.
I think the Go Fish is the only game that I've ever learned how to play with deck cards versus poker and 21 and all those other card games.
Oh, okay, hold on now. Okay, now 2015, correct me wherever you need be, but you created a digital comedy series.
I did. It's called It's Not Me, It's You.
Oh, wow. What's that about?
So it's called It's Not Me, It's You. It was a digital series, a limited digital series that was on YouTube for a little while. And it was based on a girl who is kind of lost in her life, and she's trying to find her way to put the pieces of her life back together. But is sort of having issues keeping relationships with people and figuring out how to say things without insulting people at the same time. So it was definitely a comedy, a mix between, like, it kind of reminded everybody of Curb Your Enthusiasm. So a female version of Curb Your Enthusiasm, if you can imagine that. So, it was a fun run.
That's cool. Wow. That's cool right there. What about, and I guess your focus now was just kind of on listening, because with so many different things going on, like what's how long is it going to, okay, I won't ask that because there's no telling. How long is it going to take you guys to shoot, listen, to film it?
We're looking about to shoot it for maybe another 2 weeks. We have a schedule,
wow,
and then we wrap. So it's a short film. It'll be about 10 to 15 minutes. And,
wow,
yeah, so we're set for 2 weeks. Since yesterday was the first day, we have 2 weeks till then. And then it'll be released, hopefully, within a month or so.
Dang. Talk to us about Dead in Minutes. Who's Dead in Minutes?
So Dead in Minutes is a drama series that I worked with actor and director Bo Jesse Christopher. He was in Point Break. He's in a new film that's coming out with J.K. Simmons and Emile Hirsch. He's been in, you know, the industry since like the 80s, so he's been around for a really long time. He's also a really, really talented acting coach. But he produced this and directed this digital series called Dead in Minutes. It kind of has a Pulp Fiction vibe to it about drug dealing and, you know, just a lot of shady things going on between friendships. And so I participated that in coming out with an episode of me kind of trying,
wow,
to force a deal between me and my boyfriend and another couple that we were working with, and kind of fighting over money and, you know, the dirty sides of drug dealing and that whole scenario. So that's what that series is about. But it was really great and it was really fun.
Wow. Wow. There you go. I was going to say it again. Hey, look. You know it, huh? But yeah, okay. So now, listen. All right. So how do you prepare? Like, you know, going into these different roles. What's the term I'm looking for actually? What's your regimen or what's your ritual? How do you prepare for roles before you go in? Not as you're reading the script, but before the camera, before they say action. What are you thinking right before? You know what? I've never asked this question before. This is interesting to me. What's on your mind, Jessica, as an actress? You're a pro. But what's on your mind the second before they go action?
Usually I'm already in character because I do practice a lot of method acting. So I'm entirely inside the body of the character that I'm using. So it just depends when what the scene calls for. If the scene calls for an emotional scene, then I'm already in it. I'm already emotionally, you know, heart open. Already what's happened before that scene has already just happened to me. So I kind of, when they hit action, it's just about already being in the part, already being in the character. So you don't, action doesn't really call for anything because you're already prepared before they even say that word.
Wow. Wow. That's real right there. So you got to, you know, like, you already have to be living that character. That's crazy. For people out there, just so you know just how much goes in to bringing it. You know, people, when people watch you on screen, you know, they get the enjoyment of just seeing the finished project. Like you just said, they get the enjoyment of watching who you turned into. I don't think people really understand what that transformation means and just how well you have to know your job, which, again, you know, that's not what they're supposed to see necessarily, but behind the scenes, that's a big deal. What would be your dream role to play, Jessica? Oh, you're a writer. Let me switch that. You're a writer. What would be your dream role to write yourself in?
My dream role to write myself. I
not
guess to write myself
dream,
as. I think to write myself as for an older character, to maybe not play, you know, someone who is my age, maybe to play someone who is a few years older, like someone who's in their 60s maybe, and to really disguise myself as an older character. I think that would be a really great challenge and something that would be kind of fun to work with.
That would be cool. I like your answers. They're different than a lot that I hear. Now, here's one. Who would you pick to play you?
Oh, God, that's really hard. I don't know. There's so many people that I really love. That's actually a really hard question. I think, I don't know, I really like Mila Kunis. Maybe ask her.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, you know what? There's two choices. That was a good one. But you know who the other one is? I think a few people would probably agree with me. You probably heard this before. I think Angelina Jolie could play you pretty well.
Oh, God. Well, no, thank you. Thank you. I mean, I love Angelina Jolie, so of course she would be great.
Yeah.
I guess it just depends on what the role calls for. I mean, if it was for comedy, I would definitely consider, like, Gina Rodriguez. I think she's hilarious, so she'd be really good, too.
Yeah. All right. Now let's turn pages. Matter of fact, we're talking about characters, so let's talk about this title, Heavy Makeup, by Chris Morrison. First of all, how was it working? Did you get to work with Chris on set? Because he wrote Heavy Makeup, right?
Yes. Yeah. We got to work with him on set, and I love Chris. He's really great. He's so talented. He's such a great writer and such a great director to work with. And, I believe we shot that back in 2013, 2014.
Right.
So it's been a while. But, you know, I've had a few releases since then. Oh, my gosh, 2012. Way than me. You know, it's had a few releases since then, and it's done really well, and it's won a lot of film festivals. So that one was definitely, you know, a great experience as well. And, you know, working with such great actors, such great producers. It was definitely a lot different than what I'm doing now, but it was a lot of fun to be working on such a extravagant horror film that I've never worked on before. It was really great.
Yeah. You know, horror, as you say, you kind of started in horror. I guess if the script came along, you would maybe, depending on the role.
I haven't done horror for a while, but I've kind of been transitioning to a little bit more drama and comedy. But I definitely, if the script calls for it, I would definitely be open to working on a little horror film.
Oh, okay. Now, can you sing?
I don't know. I don't think. I mean, I can sing karaoke if that counts. And I can sing in the shower if that counts.
Yeah, hey, you know what? It counts. I just asked that because, again, you know what I'm saying? You know what? Jess, it's cool to have you on the show, and there's so many things going on, but I said, let me, you know, message you forward about that. Listen, what is it? Okay, what about other projects and things like that that may be coming up, that you may be having coming up other than, listen, any shows, any festivals you plan on attending?
Yeah, actually, the Women in Film Festival is something that I usually attend every year. I'm also working on a few other upcoming short films. Let's say working with the same director that I am now that we're collaborating with. So I have another film coming out that's about depression, and it really speaks to everyone who kind of struggles with anxiety. And, you know, I really just want to help. I love to write projects that connect to people, because that's one of the main reasons why we watch movies sometimes, is because we're looking for ourselves and the character that we're watching. So I think it's really important to, you know, write stories and talk about what's real and what's happening now, what resonates with everybody on their daily lives. So I wrote another film about depression that we're going to start shooting in a few months. So that's also another one that I'll be working on too.
Wow, that's cool. You know what? And you know, I think with people who follow you on Facebook and social media and things like that, you know, people can notice, I think people would agree that, because even I see a lot of your posts, they do concern, you know, humanity, and their posts with substances. And really, I'm going to be honest with you, I honestly see you more focusing on things that, you know, like real life issues and worldly issues more than sometimes I see you focusing on the entertainment side. I guess the entertainment side probably comes natural to you, and it's just there for you, and that's handled. So I think a lot of people would agree that, yeah, you focus on that. Now, when you're writing your stories, have there been any times where you have just wanted to speak about something strongly and just kind of felt like, you know what, you might be kind of pressing the edge a little bit. Like, well, I guess what I'm saying is, when it comes to issues that you believe in as a filmmaker and a writer, how, to what extent are you willing to go to get your point across? And I mean that in a positive way. So, you know, don't people out there, don't think I'm meaning, you know, in breaking any laws or anything like that. But I just mean like the good causes people need to fight for that you normally do.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I feel like, you know, the whole politics issue and what's been going on right now has been, you know, a huge life-changing experience for a lot of women and a lot of people. And, you know, there a lot of people are affected by it every single day. Like, you know, I see so many people that I know and friends and family and people on social media who are just so upset, and you can see the anxiety in their posts, and when you're talking to them, you can feel how passionate they are about what's going on. And I do think it's important to not ignore those things. And, you know, obviously it's important to, you know, market ourselves and talk about ourselves, but we can't stop talking about what's going on. We have to make it aware. We have to make it in people's awareness to see what's happening and, you know, have people understand what's going on and why it's happening and what we can do about it. Because, I mean, the main thing that we've always known in our entire lives is to really, you know, be the change in someone's life. But when you have the opportunity and that opportunity knocks, are you going to ignore it? You know, or are you actually going to stand up for yourself? Are you going to stand up for your friends or your family and the people you love? Or are you just going to let someone bully them, you know? So it is definitely a big thing for me because I grew up, you know, getting bullied a lot. So I've always been the type of person to try to stand up for other people. So especially when things have gotten serious in the world, you know, it's definitely, I feel like it would be really selfish of me to be in the position that I am at, you know, to be in the limelight and not speak about something that's important and not speak about other people's lives that do matter as well.
Yeah. You know, I feel you. Go ahead.
I think that also, like, it does affect sometimes the workplace because it has, you know, you see everybody's opinions who you work with, and, you know, sometimes it can cause tension because you don't agree with the other people who you may be working with or the people you want to work with, and you start to recognize certain things. So I think it's really important to discuss those issues and to really, like, get them across because some people are just misinformed and some people just don't get it and they don't understand. So it's really important for us to speak about those things and talk about it with each other, to find some middle ground, to know that we're all here for the same reason. You know, we just want to be happy and we want to make our dreams come true. And we can't let the negativity take control of the entire world, you know?
Yeah, totally. And, you know, even with the show, you know, even with how we speak now, that is for people out, you know, everybody listen, that is how, that's why I asked that question. You know, because people like Jessica do care about these issues, and she does use her voice. She does use her platform as a voice to speak for people. So even that opportunity right there, we wanted to use as an open door and, you know, and a venue to be able to get those important points across. Because as I said before, Jessica's an amazing actor. She's a wonderful model. She's an amazing writer. But she also cares about what's going on earthly, too. And so we wanted to bring that up and make that a point because a lot of times y'all don't get to see that. Y'all just get to see everybody acting in movies, and you don't get to hear the things that they really care about in, on, you know, off the camera. So I think that's important. I'm going to ask you one more on that level, and then we'll get into Facebook and Twitter handles and things like that. Listen, points to get across. And I like this conversation, Jess, because I'm into the same things. Listen, as a writer, what issue, whether you've seen it bothering other people or whether it's one that has concerned you and you would like to see a voice spoken about it, as a writer, what is one of, and if you can't answer this one, fine, we'll move on. It's, but what would you like to speak about? If there was one topic you could write, a film, a short, a biography, something worldly issue or anything, your belief, what would it be?
I think it would be about trying to figure out the right word. I think it would be about the system where there's homeless people sleeping on the sides of the freeway, because I feel like that's such a big an issue for me. And, you know, I find myself always helping the homeless, and I feel like there's more that needs to be done. And I don't know if it's people that need to see it in front of their eyes, or people need to see other people helping people in order to do it, you know, but I think it's a big issue, and I don't think it's okay. And I think it's overlooked constantly because people feel like, well, I don't know what to do, so they don't help at all. So I feel like if I could write anything, maybe it would be about, you know, what can we do to actually help these people? What can happen when we can help these people get off the street and help them get their lives back? Everybody deserves to live a good life, and everybody deserves help. At one time or another, we all needed help with something. And it's not okay for us to overlook things, especially when we see sick people out on the streets, because they're not bad people, they're sick, you know, and it's not just about where it's gone. Something has happened, and, you know, it's been overlooked many, many times, and I think it's really important for us to acknowledge what's going on and for us to try and do something about it, you know. And sometimes people do see these things, and the only time they feel that they can do something about it is when they watch it on a film. It really makes you see things, you know, and just like I watching Hidden Figures, and it makes you see, you know, how all the women struggled at NASA, you know, to be in their place, but how important it was for them to be in their place, and it's really important for us to help out other people who really need it.
Wow. It says, you know, it says so much, because people who can understand where you're coming from get it, and you know, through your words and the way you speak and what you're saying, it shows it. You appreciated the blessings that you got. As you say, you came up, you may have been bullied a little, you know, coming up. So you have learned what building yourself from the inside out and being strong and speaking for others who necessarily aren't strong enough or in positions to speak for themselves. That's a big deal. And, you know, we commend you. We need more of that. Like, that's amazing. Congratulations on, you know, for you just for being that type of person.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Look, now, so we've got, listen, everybody can go back and check Heavy Makeup. Look, what are, and you spoke about the other film too, where can people go check out, follow you on your Twitters, your Facebook handles, and things like that?
Yes, so Twitter and Instagram are just under Jessica Vell, and Facebook is under Official Jessica Vell.
Okay. Now, so are you guys shooting again tomorrow? You going to be filming, or are you getting ready to take the weekend off? Or?
Yes, we will be shooting tomorrow and the next 10 days. So it'll be a lot of really, really fun.
Okay. And listen, so what did you say? You said you were working on something coming up after Listen. I think it was one that you were working on. You said you couldn't say much about.
I really can't say much about it, but I will say that it's about depression and about coming out of depression, and you'll see it soon. Whoever follows my social media, you'll definitely get updates on that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, look, listen, what's your favorite food, Jessica?
My favorite food, probably dessert, and it's probably like... Cronuts. I don't ever eat them, but they're my favorite.
Hey, you know what? You just said the whole dessert. You didn't even pick one or nothing. She just said dessert.
It is. It's my favorite.
So look, do you exercise? There's a lot of people out there who probably want to know how you keep the figure you keep. Or do you just eat? Do you eat what you want to eat?
Yeah, I do work out a lot. I do work out, and I have a personal trainer, and it's hard, but I force myself in the morning to get up, and I do it.
I was waiting on you to get that same answer that everybody always give when I ask that question. No, it's just what I eat, but nah, you got the training, the whole nine yards. That's what's up.
I'm definitely one of those people who, if I don't work out for 3 days, you can tell. So I have to consistently work out. I work out so I can eat. That's basically the deal.
Wow. Hey, listen, you done got so serious over you work out so you can eat. I just caught what you said. You know what? Okay, now look, your personality is, you know, you can be funny when you want to. With so, you know, now you're making films and you're writing about serious issues. Is this coming to almost the last of the funny Jessica that we've seen, or are you still going to give us some comedy from time to time?
Oh, no, I think it's definitely some comedy. I think there's some comedy towards the end of a lot of situations. I mean, I definitely don't think that there's anything funny about being depressed, but as far as, you know, the whole phone situation and social media situation, I think it is definitely something to laugh at the end of the day because, I mean, I'm really excited to see what's going to evolve after cell phones because I remember being a kid and beepers were around. And, you know, these giant cell phones, but now we're having the, like, smallest phone ever. I'm just wondering what this phone is going to evolve to, because I still remember when beepers were a big thing when I was a kid, so.
That's crazy you said that, too, right? So, I know I had the beeper. That's crazy. Yo, like, we used to have to stop. Like, when we had the beepers, you used to have to literally stop and hop out the car and go to a payphone or something like that.
Yeah, somehow the situation made it more difficult because, yeah, you have a beeper, but, like, how are you going to call someone? Oh, yeah, wait, there was telephone poles back then. So, I mean, but it just made it more harder.
Hey, and don't forget, before they came out with the two-way pager, you had to get, when somebody beeped you, you had to get to a phone just to beep them back.
It was one of the most complicated part of the 90s, and somehow we got through it. So I'm just really excited to see what happens after the phone because, I mean, maybe by then we'll be able to just, like, I don't know. We'll just be able to communicate through our minds. I don't know.
Yeah, I know what it's going to be. I'm going to tell you right now what it's going to be. We're going to be able to hit a button, and the person, it's going to be like a hologram with a person standing right there. That's the only thing.
That also sounds terrifying, because then you really don't need to be somewhere where you need to be. You could just, like, turn into a Jetson and just arrive.
Hey, you better hope, and hopefully they still got a call ID, so you ain't got the, you know what I'm saying? So now, because that's gonna be crazy if everybody calling, you can just beam you right to them. I can't do that then.
Yeah, absolutely.
No doubt. Hey, listen. All right, look, Jess, it's been amazing talking to you. What's the web outlet? What you got planned for this evening? We ain't too much in your business, but you're going. It's Thursday night. Matter of fact, forget Thursday night. What's going on for the weekend? You're headed out. You're chilling at home. You're doing some writing.
For this weekend, I am going to be just spending time with family. I haven't really had a lot of time lately, so I'm devoting my weekend to hanging out with family since I haven't seen them for a while. So
that's
just
what's
go
up.
To the beach. That's all.
Well, you know what? Well, start here by giving the family some shout outs and whoever else you might want to shout out.
Yes, hello to my dad and my mom, who I know are listening, and my baby sister and brother also, and I can't wait to see you guys this weekend.
Hey, that's going to be cool. The beach down there, that's all right. Listen, look, it's been groovy talking to you. Listen, we're not going to let it, or I'm not going to let it, I'll say it's my fault, I'm not going to let it take this long for you to join me again on the show, Jess.
I know, I have to come back soon.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, hey, look, I'm talking about listen. I was just getting ready to talk about listen when I said listen. All right, listen, okay? People, be watching out for Listen to Short that's coming out from Jessica. Jessica, you guys looking at, you're going to be filming. You're going to be done filming soon. When are you guys looking for possibly the release?
Hopefully by early summer it'll be out.
Okay, and then you'll be working. I'm going to get you on the show again soon, because you're being discreet. I know you got stuff. I know you got some other stuff going on, Jess. You know what I'm saying? These different projects. I know you got some writing stuff going on and everything like that. I'm going to get it out of you next time.
I mean, there's always something going on, but I guess it's just about timing and being able to talk about it. That usually is the issue.
That's what's up, yo. All right, look, Jess, keep doing your, look, everybody out there, Jessica Vail, All right, listen, in case you missed it live, make sure you check the social media sites, check the blog, talk radio sites, check iTunes also as well, and you'll be able to catch this full conversation between the lovely actress and writer, Jessica Vail, who is just always a pleasure. I call her She's So Cool. You know what I'm saying? Look, you have a wonderful day. Listen, is anything we didn't touch on, Jess?
No, everything was great. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, that's what's up. We're gonna let you get out of here. Jessica Vail, ladies and gentlemen. Jess, we'll be talking to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye bye. That was Jessica Vail, everybody, right here on the Keith Ferris Show Blog Talk Radio. It's always a pleasure talking to Jessica. Be sure you check out Listen. We'll keep you posted on the social media sites and everywhere like that as to how you can follow what's coming out. Also, don't forget to check out Django Hooper. All right, Django Hooper, which also Jessica Vail is in that. Just go check out all her works. Also, Heavy Makeup. Big shouts out to Cher Cherie, Chris Morrissey, and Jessica Vail as a part of the Heavy Makeup cast, too, doing a lot of stuff. She's so laid back, y'all. That's all right. I'm going to get you next time, Jessica. You know what I'm saying? We'll have some more stuff going on. All right, we'll be talking to you soon. I'm out of here. Peace.